We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you're listening to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM. And you've got a great week in store for you this week. Amen? And we're talking about the Word of God here today. We're talking about sowing and reaping, sowing into the Spirit. Everybody does sowing, just not everybody sows into the right field. So we want to make sure that we are doing life the right way. So we want to say thank you today to the fine folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. You know, I've known Dennis and Carla for a long time now. I don't even know how many years. I knew them before they ever visited a single service that we had at the church. Dennis is not only an electrician, but he's done ministry. He's served as an interim pastor, and they're a real blessing to the body of Christ. But before that, I just knew them. Before I knew all that about them, I just knew them as the people who were at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. And they have always done phenomenal work for us, whether it's at the church, whether it's at my house. They are wonderful people. They are really, really good at what they do. And so if you need air conditioning work or if you need electrical work, listen, not everything that has ever been done in homes is done the way that it's supposed to be done. You need the professionals to come out and take a look at that and make sure that it is done the right way. 321-632-9538. One more time, that phone number is 321-632-9538. So today we're going to start off where we left off last week. The great thing about doing a study like this is if you don't get through it all at one time, you can pick up and start again, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to begin reading out of John, the fourth chapter. I'll go back and begin reading at verse number 31, all the way through. I think I'll go one verse farther today than I did on Friday, all the way up through verse number 42. And it says, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So here we got to verse number 36 on Friday, and he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. I want to spend just a minute talking about that, because I think there is a whole lot of competition many times between churches when there should be cooperation. I'm going to say that again. A lot of times there is competition in churches where there should be cooperation. So on Merritt Island, there was a history that Merritt Assembly of God used to have with the other Assembly of God church, which is now called River of Life. And Pastor Mark Burney there, he and I have been friends since before either one of us were senior pastors. We were youth pastors together, and so we would do youth events together. And our two churches used to be pretty competitive. It wasn't, and theirs always did way better than Merritt Assembly of God did. But in Ezekiel chapter 37, there is, first of all, the story of the dried bones, the Valley of Dry Bones, and how it comes back to life and it's a great and mighty army. And everybody likes to focus on that, but at the end of that chapter, there is another story where Ezekiel is told to pick up a stick, and on one stick he was to write the name Judah, and on another stick he was supposed to write Israel. And he said, I want you to pick those sticks up, and I want you to put them together in your hand to where your hand covers the fact that they are two different sticks. And so Pastor Burney and I, we set out years ago, decades ago now, to be honest with you, we set out to destroy that spirit of competition between our two churches and instead operate in a spirit of unity in the count, or, you know, in our ministry throughout the community, to where we would function as one stick, if you will. And the only way that you can do that is when you know that you are secure in the hand of God, that your identity does not lie in whether or not you do better or worse than the other stick. Your security, your identity, your purpose, and your power comes from the fact that you are held in the hand of God. And so whether you're the leading edge or the trailing edge, it really doesn't matter, because God is using you both for his glory. So that's the way that we like to operate. And as Pastor Burney and I, we are really, really good friends. He's my best friend in the ministry. And we would travel to general councils, our national assemblies, our district councils. We used to travel to all of those things together. We would save on expenses, and we called them the Adventures of Mark and Bob. And we've had some great adventures through the years. And, you know, I have found that when you recognize that you are not competing against other members in the body of Christ, you are actually doing battle with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, when you realize that the real enemy is not another brother and sister in Christ, not another church, not another pastor, but the real enemy is an enemy that you cannot see with your eyes, that is pillaging and plundering people's lives, stealing, killing, and destroying their potential before God. Then all of a sudden you realize, maybe we don't need to do battle with one another. Maybe we need to focus on the real enemy. It's just a thought. Jesus said to the disciples here that there is one who is, or one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labors. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Jesus was the one who sacrificed his strength so that he was right where he needed to be. He was the one who was left there by himself. He was the one who positioned himself where his reputation was at stake. This conversation he was having with this woman at the well, It didn't happen on a normal basis for a lot of reasons. He was doing the hard work. He was the one who was speaking the words of life. The Holy Spirit was the one who was convicting her heart. There was a lot of hard work that was going on. And I want you to know that God has done all of the hard work, not just in this case, but in your case as well. Jesus is the one who went to the cross. Jesus is the one who came and was born in a manger. Can you imagine people being born in a barn now? And I mean, that would be something that it's just practically unheard of. And that's where the King of all glory was born. When Jesus emptied himself, when he humbled himself, it wasn't just a little, it was extensive. He humbled himself and he went to the cross. He paid the price with his life, the beating that he took on the way to going to the cross. It was necessary. And he said, you know what? I'm willing to do the hard work. By his stripes you were healed. By his stripes you are healed. And I just want to thank God for the fact that he's done all of the hard work. Jesus not only did the hard work this day with the woman at the well, he's done all of the hard work that is necessary for you and I to walk in our part of the harvest, walk in obedience as far as our part of the harvest is go. What's our part? Well, he did the sowing, and now we get to do the reaping. He says, for in this saying, one sows and another reaps. He said in verse number 36 that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. And so I'm just so thankful that I get to partner with God and you get to partner with God for our part in the harvest field. So my identity is not threatened. It's not lessened. It's not intimidated by churches of 10,000 or 20,000. You see, I'm a man under assignment. And so whenever God speaks and says, you know what, this is the part of my harvest field that you are to harvest, then I say, yes, Lord. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to make the most out of that opportunity. So we're constantly believing for more. We want to be faithful in that which is little so that God will make us faithful over more. But that's up to God. I just know this. I want Merit Assembly of God. I want Merit Assembly of God to be involved in the sowing. I want Merit Assembly of God to be participating in the reaping. I want Merit Assembly of God participating in the rejoicing. That's what we strive to do. And we get to rejoice together. So if I hear of a person, let me take you back to an experience that I had pastoring to give you an idea about what I'm talking about. I was preparing to preach a message one Sunday, and as I prayed, I sensed that the altars were going to be filled with people responding to the message. And I mean, I got up, I was prayed up, I was worded up, I was ready to preach. This goes back 10 or 15 years. And I got up and I preached that message with passion. I preached it with enthusiasm. I preached it with joy. I extended the invitation and nobody responded. And I was like shocked. I was like, this isn't what I saw in my spirit at all. And the next week I had an evangelist that was in speaking, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, without me telling him or communicating to him what I had preached the week before, he got up from the same text, preached most of the same message, preached it with passion, preached it with joy, preached it with accuracy. He preached almost identically the same message that I had preached the week before. And he extended the invitation, and the altars were absolutely filled. And at that point in time, you can either go beat yourself up as the pastor and say, wow, why didn't they respond to my invitation the way that they responded his invitation? Or you can say, you know what? Last week I sowed. This week he came in and confirmed, and the harvest of people responding to the message came about. And so I had just as much a part in that because I had sown as he did when he got to reap. And it was all for the glory of God. I could tell you who the evangelist was, and he would not even remember that. I don't believe that it would be anything that would have registered on his radar, but it registered on mine. And so I wonder what God could do in Brevard County if we really didn't care who got the credit. That all we were concerned about was getting souls into the kingdom of God and helping people to find their place in the body of Christ. And so you and I, this was about a bunch of people who weren't used to Jews talking to them, much less sharing the word of God with them, much less helping them come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a complete departure from the norms of the day, because there was a spiritual harvest that was ready to be had there. Jesus said, others have labored and you have entered into their labors. Recently, the former pastor of Merit Assembly of God passed away. And there were several predecessors to him before that. And I had told our congregation years and years and years ago that I don't want to be saying things bad about my predecessors, because when I came to Merit Assembly of God, it was still there because of their hard labors. The building was there because somebody else had a vision for it. There had been repairs that had been made because somebody had been faithful with their tithes and offerings. There were people who had been saved because of the faithful ministry that had gone on there before. And so I told our current congregation, this was years ago, that we're here, we're reaping the benefits of others who have given before. You may be looking around. We tend to think of things as in the here and now. Sowing is about future reaping, and it may be you doing the reaping. It may be someone else doing the reaping, but it's about God receiving the glory. And so through the years, we've had thousands of people that have come to Merit Assembly of God. And that's not an exaggeration. It's literally thousands after 25 years, you can imagine. And you know what my favorite thing is when kids that we've ministered to have left the community, moved away, and they come back to visit family, and they want to come back and visit Merit Assembly of God because we had a momentary influence in their life that hopefully set them in the right direction. And so today, you and I, we need to remember that we may be sowing that seed for the first time. We may be reinforcing the seed that's already been sown. But God is the one who brings about the increase. God gives, one sows, another reaps, but it's God who gives the increase. And so we want to encourage you, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. It's to the glory of God. It goes on and it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. They urged him to stay with them. He stayed there two more days, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Do you realize that the woman had a vital part in this particular harvest field? She went from a woman with a bad reputation to a person who was instrumental in an entire village to coming to Christ. And we never know her name. I would love to have a John 4 type testimony. And many people, you know, I have people say, do you know so-and-so? And I said, no, do they know me? I don't know everybody, and not everybody knows me. But this woman, we don't even know what her name is, but she was so impacted by an encounter with God that, bad reputation and all, she became extremely influential in an entire village coming to faith. When you go to the grocery store, there's generally a produce section there. And many of the items there have a brand name. And, you know, they've probably some sort of tracking information. If you wanted to, you could probably find out what farm it came from, in case there's a outbreak of disease or something like that. They can probably track it. But you know what is generally not known? No one knows the name of the person who planted the seeds, and most people don't know who it was that harvested the crop. Just like this woman, the kingdom of God is filled with a bunch of nameless heroes. Heroes the world will never know. Parades that will never be experienced. But heroes nonetheless. I remember encountering a family some time ago. They used to live around the corner. And I met this lady, and her husband had passed away. And recently, a person told me, said that person was very influential in me becoming a Christian and me growing as a Christian. And you know what I did? I tracked down the family's daughter, who's now, you know, an adult. This happened probably back in the 70s, I think it was. And I said, hey, I just wanted to let you know that your dad sowed some seeds decades ago that are still bearing fruit today. I wanted her to know, because I didn't want her to think that anything that had ever taken place had been for nothing. God's not going to have you do anything for nothing. He's going to, whatever he has you do, you can guarantee, you can rest assured that there's going to be a harvest that comes. Today, I want to encourage you, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. If you've sown and you've sown and you've sown, don't be discouraged. It can happen in a day. Do you realize that this woman or this village went from no believers to one believer to a few believers to, after Jesus ministering to them for 2 days, was an entire community filled with faith? I teach a history class for our ministerial students that participate in our district school of ministry. And I talk about a missionary that went to New Hebrides Islands. And there is a plaque to this missionary that says this: when he arrived, there were no Christians. And when he left, and I think he was there for 20-some years, when he left, there were no heathen. That is a harvest. That is a harvest. And today, I just want to encourage you. You may be involved in the sowing. You may be involved in the reaping. You may be involved in the watering. Today, I want to get it off of whether or not you're going to receive the glory, whether I'm going to receive the glory. The truth of the matter is, I'm probably not going to get much in the way of glory for anything that takes place. I don't want it. You know, I like to live my life by the three G's. Don't touch the gold, the glory, or the girls. That's what I want to be faithful with the finances, faithful in my marriage, and I want to be faithful to let God get the glory. That's the reality. But I'll tell you this: if man doesn't take notice of what you do, God will, and there will be a great day of rejoicing. You know, I think that many times the Christian church tends to forget that we're supposed to rejoice. And so whenever we have a person that gives their heart and their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what we do? We rejoice and we celebrate, because that's a person whose eternal destiny has just been changed. And that's a good thing. Change for the good is a great, great thing. So thank you once again for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. We pray that it is a blessing to you. We're going to be back tomorrow. We're going to be going into the Word of God. We've got a couple of more things that we want to share with you. And I guess there is a few more things to say. Anyway, thank you for listening to the Refresh Radio program. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you.
Yeah.